Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Not going to let you guys ruin Tuesday morning.
Oh, it's going to go down like
no
this
more of this clash stuff. This is not how our show needs to roll.
I think it is. The people have spoken. More clash.
It sounds like something bad you catch. Like, hey, what are you doing tonight? I'm not going to be able to make it out. I got the clash.
I got the clash, man.
I got the clash, yeah. They just used the ointment for the clash.
I just got a prescription, so I should be good. I should be in the clear.
Should I? No. If you have the clash, you shouldn't be good.
You probably shouldn't go.
Don't go out. Should I go? No, stay home. Stay home. Don't come out with the clash.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. J. Will is here and ready to go as always. I'm Alan Hahn, and we also have Mike Tannenbaum joining us as well. And Mike, I guess I apologize in advance for the. I guess whatever opened the show here was a harbinger of what the next hour is going to be. So, sorry.
Mike, do you know the clash, Mike? Are you familiar with
Mike
the clash?
Mike Tannenbaum knows the clash.
The train in vain. Absolutely. You know, you can't grow up in the 80s and not know The Clash, and that was a good album. But I'm staying for the hour. I'm not going, so I'm all in. There's no ambiguity with me.
I love it. But you know, and the perfect guy to have on right now after what's going on in San Francisco, the question marks about what's going to happen now in San Francisco at the number 3 pick after they make the aggressive move up. And who do you want to hear from first? Is it John Lynch? Or is it Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan, we all like to get a little bit of caffeine before the show, right? Get ourselves a little fired up.
This is a lot of caffeine.
Mike, I got to ask you, as somebody that had to answer a lot of questions in your time as a front office executive when it comes to decisions or even decisions you haven't even made yet. So when you have to answer questions that you don't either have the answer yet for or don't want to reveal the answer for, I'm sure you tend to get, turn it into a race of words, word salad, as people say. Take a listen. Here's Kyle Shanahan with the Niners press conference, and he talked about the quarterback situation. Now that they moved up, you must be taking a quarterback, and what does it mean for Jimmy G? Try to keep up with the coach right now. Take a listen.
It's going to be hard to find a quarterback that gives us a better chance to win than Jimmy right now, especially even a rookie in the draft. So that's what you look into. Now, if someone wanted something for that and it can make your team better in a lot of other ways, you listen to that, but also depends on how good you feel about that rookie. And we're not there yet right now. And odds are we probably won't be. That's why we're happy that we don't have to be that way. We got a guy in here who we know we can win with, a guy that our players love, that we love. And we're excited to have him this year, and we're excited to have a hell of a quarterback right behind him, learning from when the time's his.
How's his ACL after all that pivoting? My goodness.
So many quick pivotings, Mike T. You know, back like, we got Jimmy G, but obviously somebody wants to throw us a low, but we still like our quarterback. But it's always good to have another great quarterback behind him.
Whew.
J. Will, he had about as much short area quickness in that press conference as you did at Duke. Wow. He was all over the place. But, in all seriousness, guys, just remember this. Communication isn't what's said. It's what's heard. And really what Kyle was saying is, dear 31 teams, Jimmy Garoppolo is totally available, and if we get the right value, he could be gone before the end of this press conference. And I think what he's saying is, look, we will play with him for this year, but they're going to obviously try to trade him, and he certainly was trying to leave himself enough wiggle room. And I think the challenging part for him, and we saw some of the threads of this comments from Urban Meyer the other day about how they're leaning towards Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer only took the job to coach Trevor Lawrence. Like, that decision was made months ago, just to be clear. And obviously, you don't trade 2 first-round picks and a third-round pick without knowing exactly who you're taking. So they know who they're taking. They're going to try to trade Jimmy Garoppolo if they get the right value for him. If not, I do think they would keep him for the year because of the rookie contract. They could afford it from a cap standpoint.
Yeah, I love at least what Urban Meyer did was, I'm not going to waste everybody's time. You know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Grab your Sharpie, just write it in. We'll move on from here. And as we know, the draft really does start at the number 2 pick with the Jets, and we'll get to that certainly in a moment. But what does it mean when that the Niners – move up, and then they decide John Lynch is going to be at Mac Jones's pro day instead of Justin Fields' pro day. Is that also something to read into? Is this some smoke screening going on as well?
Yeah, Alan, to me, guys, the draft really starts with 4. The Atlanta Falcons are on the clock because we know that number 1, Jacksonville, for sure is taking Trevor Lawrence. We know for sure that number 2, the New York Jets, are taking Zach Wilson. How do we know that, guys? Because San Francisco gave up all those picks to Miami to go to three. If they could have given up the same value to go to two, they certainly would have done that. And at three, clearly they're taking Mac Jones. That's why today, and I think it's worth noting, as you mentioned, Alan, that today Mac Jones is throwing in Tuscaloosa and Justin Field is throwing in Columbus, Ohio. Both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are in Alabama. That is not a coincidence.
Mike T, hear me on this. So last night, I'm with my daughter, and her favorite movie is Nemo, okay?
Oh,
and it's Dory and Marlin, Nemo's dad, and they're kind of diving into this dark alley, right? This really dark cave. And they see a shiny light, and they're like, oh, look at the light. It's so beautiful. And they go towards the light, right? And it's the picture opens up, and there's a fish with all these teeth, right? It's a trap. Why are we always following the light, once again, with John Lynch? Mm. Like, John Lynch always sets us up for stuff like this. Did it back in 2017 when he fleeced Ryan Pace of the Chicago Bears for Mitchell Trubisky after he brought him in for a workout. Did it again in 2019 with Quinnen Williams, right? They treated him to IHOP. They came in and said, hey, look, he's a special type of player. He's one of our type. Gave this whole interview about him. Led you up. Like, well, he might be our guy over Nick Bosa. Took Nick Bosa. Like, I just feel like it's so obvious. Hey, we're going to go to Mac Jones Pro Day. We're going to sit there. We're going to evaluate talent. It's so obvious, even though, by the way, Justin Fields has already been to Kyle Shanahan's QB camp. He's already seen a lot of footage of him.
Kind of knows him.
It feels like it's one of these setups because it's so obvious. Why are we attracted to the light once again? It just feels like John Lynch has us exactly where he wants us, Mike T. Doesn't it feel that way slightly to you?
Yeah, Jay, well, look, you could very well proven to be correct. You know, that's an interesting theory. I think what's slightly different is, I feel like in this situation, why it's a little bit different is the hay's in the barn, meaning they know that one and two is set. Again, it's Lawrence to Jacksonville. It's Zach Wilson to the Jets. So now we control the draft. So unless something comes along like Aaron Rodgers being available or the Deshaun Watson situation turns differently where it's clear that there could be a trade, which is imminent, which I don't expect to happen. My belief is they've made the decision. They gave up, again, a massive, massive amount of draft capital. It bears repeating, 2 1s and a 3 just to move up 9 spots. So in my mind, unlike when you're talking about things like Nick Bosa or Mitch Trubisky and you're trying to maximize draft value, I think this situation, the hay's in the barn. They know what they're doing. And I do think it's meaningful that because of COVID protocols, they could certainly be close to Mac Jones today in Tuscaloosa. It's not the same in terms you can't have dinner with him, but you could still get a lot done in person. And I guess like the only other aspect of this dynamic that's interesting to me is because of the premium they gave Miami, and again, Miami really deserves credit because they maximized the value of the third pick overall, is if there was any doubt, if there was any sort of like 50-50, 45-55, they could have waited until after today and said, hey, we want to see this guy up close. So whatever they're doing, and again, I'm assuming it's Mac Jones, to me, based on what they traded guys, they are fully convicted in their position.
It's a lot of spots to move up to get Mac Jones.
Yeah, that's one question, of course. Also the fact that, Mike, you used the word convicted.
Oh, geez.
That can be thought of in many different ways when it comes to that decision. But still, it does certainly make for conversation. As Jay said, there is a history here of sometimes just a little bit of smoke and mirrors, but that's the fun part of the draft. That's where we're at. See if we play a little Sonny Weaver once again on draft day. Remains to be seen. But how do you get an A+ and a C- on the same test? I know. I did it a lot in college. Mike will explain after Jay has this from Goodyear.
Goodyear knows when the season starts heating up, so do the possibilities. That's right. Playoff hopefuls are beginning to emerge, and contenders are solidifying their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to build up to the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven.
What happens to Jimmy Garoppolo? Sure, they're going to be trading him, right? Not so fast.
At 6, Miami can get the wide receiver. That is the thought process. You look at Philly.
No one in the city can figure out what exactly they're doing.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
KJZ, Alan Hahn, Mike Tannenbaum, hanging out with Jay Will, ESPN Radio. Now, I want to set this up the right way because we want to get people the opportunity to be part of this conversation and talk to Mike Tannenbaum and ask him questions too. So we're going to play Ask the GM in, let's do the math, in about 15 minutes, right?
Ooh.
So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Get in line now while you can so you can ask the GM the question.
I want to hear some hard tough questions for Mike T. We need some real questions. Don't call him with the fluff questions.
Jay, well, don't give me a fantasy football
question. Yeah, I want the real stuff, right? Guys. Call him with the heat.
Bring the heat. I like that.
Hey, Jay, well, I get that from you every Monday morning. I feel like I get the heat every Monday morning from you guys.
You always bring the heat, Mike T. Well,
again,
that's why.
When you've been a GM in the NFL, you understand heat. You've been on the hot seat many times. That's just how it is. That's that life. So anyway, that's coming up. But right now, we got Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You know what we're going to do right now, Mike Tannenbaum? We're going to grade the trade. Are you ready to do this?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go. Well, the 49ers-Dolphins trade, obviously the biggest news from Friday. So if you're grading that trade for each team, what would you give the Niners, and what would you give the Dolphins?
Yeah, well, starting from the Dolphins' standpoint, I give them a perfect score. I give them an A+. They really maximize value. They moved back 9 spots, guys, and picked up 2 future first-round picks and a future third-round pick. You can't do any better than that just from a standpoint that you're still in the premium part of the draft. So to go from 3 to 12 is really remarkable. And from a 49er standpoint, I'm giving them a B-, and here's why. We've really touched on it, Jay, Will, and Allen, which is you're moving up. You have a really good team. They deserve a ton of credit for that. But the reason they get a B- is there's still some incomplete parts of the evaluation from spending time with Mac Jones, spending time with Justin Fields. So unless an Aaron Rodgers or something else comes out of the blue, Russell Wilson isn't going to be traded from Seattle to San Francisco. I think they could have waited. I think they could have solidified more of their planning and still had plenty of time to make the trade. Miami would not have made that trade with another team without circling back to them. So I think it's a good trade. I think it could have been executed a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree with Mike T on this. I think Miami is – they got incredible amounts of assets mm-hmm. for that pick, and that's exactly what you want. We can talk about the latter part of their trade afterwards. And then for the 49ers, I just go back to this for Mike T. If you have a guy pegged, you know exactly what you want to achieve with the third pick. Is that guy going to be an heir apparent? I still think you could have got Matt Jones later. There's something smells fishy about that to me.
Jay is not buying
I'm not buying into it, Mike T. It smells fishy to me knowing how John Lynch has been able to misdirect us before. There's a history there with him and that.
All right, we'll move on to this. It's also the one other thing, if I could add, from the Dolphins' perspective, it's also basically saying, yeah, Tua's our guy.
Exactly.
Tua's our
guy. We're locked into
Tua. Is that the best decision? We might have to adjust this grade down the road, but we'll see. But there was another part to this deal.
You know, go ahead.
Wait,
Alan, one thing. I think there's a little scar tissue here between Duke and Stanford. Jay Will, the show's about 10 minutes old, has taken multiple shots at John Lynch. I think there's some Duke-Stanford scar tissue going on here.
I'm not taking shots. I'm just saying John Lynch always has tricks up his sleeve. I'm just watching him. That's all.
Jay has trust issues. Pretty clear.
Yes.
Pretty clear there.
Drake and I are close. Trust issues. Yes.
So in the second part of the day, which, again, this is the one where you just were like, wait a minute, what? And that is that the Dolphins, after making this trade to 12, said, let's get back into the top 10. They make a deal with the Eagles. They move to 6 now. So let's go first with the Eagles, them making that deal to move out of 6. How do we grade this?
Yeah, Yeah, Alan, really solid grade. I give them a B. I really like this trade for them because a couple of things. At 12, they're going to get a really, really good football player. They actually swap a fourth and a five, but that's sort of inconsequential. They get a first-round pick next year. So assuming Carson Wentz plays 75% or more of the snaps in Indianapolis, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have three number one picks next year. That's an incredible position to be in. As a GM, one time we had four first-round picks back in the Jets. When you're in a position of strength like that, you have unbelievable flexibility for unforeseen opportunities. So they're really in a good position. And the same Miami Dolphins that we just gave an A-plus to, we're going to give them a C-minus, and I think we're being generous. It could be actually below that. And here's why, guys. You're sitting with the 12th pick. You move up to 6, and basically you give up two first-round picks. And if you think about that, the Buffalo Bills gave up less with the Minnesota Vikings a year ago to get Stephon Diggs. So if you're Miami, you're all in on Tua. Great decision, agree with it. You believed him in a year ago, stay with him. But if you have two first-round picks, you could call up the Seattle Seahawks and say, hey, DK Metcalf, great young player, no guesswork, no projections. Seattle doesn't have a one for the next couple of years. They're dying for good young talent. I'm sure they would take two ones for DK Metcalf. You could call up the New Orleans Saints, team that has a lot of cap problems, and say, hey, you know what? We're going to give you this year's 12th pick. We're going to give you next year's one for Michael Thomas. I'm sure the Saints would say for two ones, we're going to do it. So when you look at it in that sort of context, I think Miami just rushed to a decision to say, hey, we're going to get Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase at 6, which, unless something changes, that's going to be a great player, but it's still a projection. And why not take the certainty of a frontline superstar in either Michael Thomas, DK Metcalf? You probably could call Arizona for DeAndre Hopkins for two ones. Again, when you think about what Buffalo paid to get Stephon Diggs a year ago from Minnesota, that's why I think they paid an enormous premium that wasn't necessary.
I'm with Mike on this one, too. I feel like it was almost a missed opportunity by Miami, and I know that Miami loves Kyle Pitts. I mean, look, his times when in which he runs are like a wide receiver. The things he can do from the tight end position is absolutely incredible. I know they want to surround Tua with the pieces, even schematically. They're changing schemes this year for him offensively, but I feel like they could have gotten more from that.
I don't know. I just like when you collect picks, you got to use them, and I think that's what they did here. All right, moving on. So the team that did not make a trade, let's grade them anyway because they're at 2, the Jets, and clearly some way, somehow, the Jets might have told the Niners, no, we're all set. We don't want to accept that offer, and I know, Mike, you've referenced that. So if we were grading the Jets for not making a move, what would you give them?
Well, I think it bears noting that Joe Douglas went to the University of Richmond, so I'm sure Jay will be more comfortable with this decision than the aforementioned Jonathan.
Always about the run.
But I give them an A-. I think it's about chasing greatness. And if you're in the AFC East, you're chasing Josh Allen. For years, you were chasing Tom Brady. Josh Allen is the standard. Zach Wilson, in my opinion, has a higher ceiling than Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, to me, is a B. He is Kirk Cousins. He is a solid NFL player. Zach Wilson has a chance to be great. I really like the fact that they stayed there. They didn't take an opportunity to maybe get all these extra picks, move out of the second spot. So when you're chasing greatness, you want to get the best player you can. I think they deserve an A- because of it.
Look, if Zach Wilson is your guy, then Zach Wilson is your guy. There's nothing wrong with just being patient here for a minute. If a team was willing to give up that many assets for the third pick in the draft, imagine if Zach Wilson continues to build up. And say, for instance, you do decide that Sam Darnold is your guy at the end of the day. What are teams willing to give up for Zach Wilson? They give that much for the third pick? What are they willing to give
for
Zach Wilson?
Too. Maybe show a little patience. Maybe just wait out the market a little more and see how desperate a team like Carolina might get or something else. You're right. But it also – I kind of – again, as a Jets fan, Mike, I do also feel what you're saying as well. Chasing greatness is something that is probably written on the wall in Florham Park these days. It's just that's what you've been doing with Tom Brady, and you don't want to have to do the same thing now with Josh Allen, how good he's been playing. But those are grades. I'll take an A- for the Jets. It was very interesting that the Dolphins get an A+ and then get a C-, but as well explained by Mike Tannenbaum. That is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, off of this, we have a million questions, don't we? I know you do. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We will play Ask the GM Anything coming up next. Also, is Russell Wilson the week one QB1 for the Seahawks? We'll ask Mike about that as well. After Jay has this from Indeed.
Connoisseur of case management or guru of global sales? Whoever you're looking to hire, you can find them all at Indeed. Sponsor a job post and Indeed's Instant Match searches millions of resumes in your database and immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes fit your job description. You can add an Indeed skills test so candidates can show you their skills that go beyond the resume. No wonder Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I very much think, based on what Russell Wilson has said and what Seattle hasn't said, that a trade is still in the mix.
I'm told that the Bears still are paying attention to Russell Wilson and have not abandoned hopes.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There it is. This ain't no Clash.
It's not Clash. I'll tell you that. Nothing wrong with Clash. I respect Clash.
It is KJZ, though. That is Jay Will. I'm Alan Hahn, and Mike Tenenbaum joining us as well. Let's play more games this morning. These are fun. As we have Mike Tenenbaum for the hour, so we're going to take advantage of having a guy with front office experience in the NFL, an executive, a GM. He's pulled off some huge trades in his time. And so we have a million questions off of the grades. We have a million questions about what's happening, whether it's the draft or anything else going on in the NFL, and so do the callers. So, Mike, are you ready? We're going to play Ask the GM Anything, and the callers are just going to come in and just fire away at questions. And as we know the rules here on the show, when you call in, we want you to know everybody's doing great. We tell you at the beginning of the show, how you doing, Jay? You good?
Doing great.
I'm good. Mike, good this morning?
I'm good.
Good. All right. So everybody's good. We don't need to ask how everybody's doing. We don't need to say anything. We appreciate you listening to the show. What we want to do is just get right to your question. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So here we go, Mike. Ask the GM Anything. And we begin with caller number one.
Bring the heat.
Hello. This is Mike from Philly.
Go ahead, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Okay, I have a quick theory. I want to know if Mike Tenenbaum can reach into his bag of GM dirty tricks and confirm my theory. My theory is Jalen Hurts is our guy for the Philadelphia Eagles this year. He has banked three draft picks for next year in case Jalen Hurts does not reach the potential that we think. Now, here's where Robert Kraft and the collusion occurs. Wow. Robert Kraft helped Howie send these fake masseuse claims to Houston.
What?
Okay? To solve this. So next year, if Hurt is not our guy.
Did we let that go?
I think we have. Let's tighten up, team.
That got really weird,
really quick.
That got a tinfoil hat on us, Mike. I don't know. Have there ever been, like, I mean, look, that's a wild conspiracy theory. But, Mike, have you ever heard of something, maybe not at that level, but something that maybe a team did just to put themselves in position to get a player that, you know, to get everybody else off the scent or something?
Yeah, actually, you know, this time of year with medical information, there's a lot of ambiguity. You know, sometimes you want to run things by other teams and you hear things like, oh, well, he's off our board. And then second, third round, boy, they're picking him. You know, interesting one was Rob Gronkowski. When he came out, a lot of teams had him off their board, and to New England's credit, obviously they took him in the second round. The rest is history. But, yeah, this is definitely the season of information and disinformation. So sometimes it's calculated. Sometimes it's organic. You got to be very careful this time of year. Really trust, you know, your people in the process.
You got to always worry that, especially if it's a guy from Philly and he starts going, now stay with me. This might sound a little weird. This might sound a little weird.
I don't want to stay with you.
Stay with me on this.
I want to let you go, actually. Yeah,
exactly. So line two, make up for that. Bring the heat.
Hey, this is Cody from Virginia. Mike, I'm wondering what in the world are the Niners doing? First, we have trade talks about Watson, then Darnold. Now we're going to take a crapshoot of the third pick. And we don't even know if Wilson's going to be available. So it's basically up in the air. So we take anyone kind of thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've talked about that this morning. We got to give them credit. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. That's really hard to do. They have to be convicted in terms of what they're going to do. And again, I think it's Mac Jones because that's where they are today in Tuscaloosa. I don't think they'd be wasting time going to Ohio State and talking to Justin Fields from a standpoint. If that's what they were going to do, that's where they would be. So I think they made the decision. I think they feel great about Mac Jones. I think that's what the pick is, and they're all in on him. Despite what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday about they're going to move forward Jimmy G, I think he would be there reluctantly if they don't get some value for him. But they are all in on Mac Jones. They have a plan. That's who they think they can win a Super Bowl with. And I think the hay is in the barn in terms of that decision's been made.
Jay, how are we feeling about the first two calls, by the way, the energy level?
I wanted our second caller to have some coffee or bring some energy. And our first caller, I just don't know where the hell he went. He was just,
he was out on the turnpike. You know, that's what he was.
He was on something other you know, than coffee.
He was out on Pine Barrens. He has a shovel in his hand.
My wife's from Philly, you know, and usually you get the question about, you know, cheesesteaks. Is it Pat's? Is it Gino's? Is it Jim's? So I thought, you know, if it was a Philly caller, it was going to be about cheesesteaks.
Right. Yeah. And then, of course, it's none of those, none of the above. And then don't ask Giannis Antetokounmpo about it either. All right, Jay. I've not done well here. Jay, can you bring in the third caller, please?
Third caller. I said, let's bring the heat. Can we bring some heat? Let's be succinct. Let's go.
I'm Jackson from Virginia.
Yes.
And, Mike, I want to know how you're grading the Dolphins rebuild with the Laremy Tunsil and Minkah Fitzpatrick trade.
Boom. Jackson from Virginia.
What
he's
they
the
turn
best.
That into.
Love Jackson.
Yeah, great question. Those were two good players, but they were able to get great value. You know, when you really look at the Laremy Tunsil situation, really turned into be four first-round picks between the initial trade with Houston and then the subsequent trade with San Francisco. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, that was for a first-round pick. And, you know, sometimes that happens. A new head coach comes in, Brian Flores. He inherits Minkah Fitzpatrick. Pittsburgh gets him. And I think that was one of those trades where I think both teams could look back and say that was a win-win.
People, I just want you to know, Jackson's 11 years old. He's 11 years old. He's a long-time caller,
right,
and he's bringing
school.
The heat.
Right,
you better
school.
Pick it up after Jackson.
You love it. And by the way, thinking of Laremy Tunsil, when we talk about conspiracies and all different things that happen, remember what happened to him on draft day, why he fell to where the Dolphins could get him, right? Just start there, and then what they got out of that. So that's an amazing story.
So, and Alan, I was there, and that was our first year we were together. Chris Greer, the general manager, Adam Gase, the head coach, and obviously Steve Ross, the owner. And going into that draft, guys, you know, we talk about like disinformation and everything else, but we were going into the draft. We had the 13th pick in the draft. We had a very good left tackle, Brandon Albert. Not great, but a really solid player. And like any team, we had 8 million needs from corner, pass rusher, a lot of things, first-time head coach. And Adam Gase, and the last thing we needed was a left tackle. And, you know, obviously that video unfolds in real time as the draft is starting. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching Baltimore, and Baltimore does a great job, and they needed a left tackle. I'm like, well, Tunsil may fall. You know, Tennessee, we thought, was certainly going to take him. And then things start unfolding. And once he got past Baltimore, Baltimore took Ronnie Stanley, who turned out to be a really good left tackle from Notre Dame. I was like, wow, he may get there. And then at 12, the Saints, I thought, were going to take Tunsil. And when then he didn't, we had this massive inflection point of like, you know, are all these other teams wrong? And, you know, we fell back on preparation, and we had a ton of information. Laramie's a really good person. really good teammate, obviously had made a mistake, and we turned that into a great opportunity. And we picked what was then the number one player on our board with the 13th pick.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, of course, what they turned him into as well, Mike. I love that story.
I've had that told to me a lot when I was in grammar school. I like you. You're a really good person. You're really a nice person. You're a good friend. Oh, that means you don't like me. That's what that means.
Yeah. Friend zone?
Yes.
I totally get that. All right, let's get back. It's KJZ, Alan Hahn, Mike Tannenbaum taking your questions. Jay Will hanging out with us, of course, as well on ESPN Radio. We're playing Ask the GM Anything. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The phone lines are loaded up, so let's keep it going. Line four.
Yeah, this is Drew from Illinois. This is a Bears question. So I think Ryan Pace, I mean, he can't go in the season with just Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. That's a death wish for him. So are we going to go harder after Jimmy G or Sam Darnold, or who's it going to be?
Great question. We've talked about that quite a bit. And if you look at it objectively, in my opinion, last year towards the end of the season, Mitch Trubisky outplayed Andy Dalton. So by them signing Andy Dalton, I don't think they've gotten better. And I think Sam Darnold will give him a better chance to win. And sometimes there's trades of convenience. And maybe after the draft, if everything sorts out where Chicago doesn't draft a quarterback or the Jets go ahead and draft Zach Wilson, maybe there's a post-draft trade when Darnold goes for maybe a third or a fourth round pick. But I think in such a consequential year for the Chicago Bears, Sam Darnold would give them the best chance to win, definitely over an aging Andy Dalton.
And it depends on obviously what the Jets could possibly get. Kimberly Martin said that a lot of GMs have been telling her a third round pick, some saying maybe something conditional because, of course, the fifth year option is there and you're not sure you're going to keep them. So Jets might not get a lot for Sam Darnold, but there will be a market for him, you have to believe, especially after the draft. Let's get to line five. Go ahead, line five.
Eli from Maryland. I just want to know, have you ever had any heated arguments with any players in your time in the NFL? And if so, which one?
Happens all the time. Actually, my first year when I had the privilege of being the GM of the Jets, we the year before, I was the assistant GM, and we lost two quarterbacks in seven snaps, Chad Pennington and Jay Fiedler. And we had the fourth pick in the draft. And I knew very, very early that we should take DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who went on to have a really good career at left tackle. And a lot of the building wasn't really in on that decision. So we had a lot of spirited debate. And ultimately, Coach Mangini came around and we went ahead and took DeBrickashaw. And when you draft offensive linemen, you know, that's not really like a wow pick or get people excited. But he was the building block and the foundation for a lot of really good teams that we had. And later on in the first round, we actually took Nick Mangold. So here I have my dream job in New York City. At the time, I was the youngest GM in the NFL. And the first draft, in the first round, we have 2-1s, and we take DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold. So there was really not a lot of excitement or buzz about it, but really turned out to be good picks because they were foundational players for us.
Should have taken Reggie Bush. Should have taken Reggie Bush. Should have traded both picks and gone up and gotten Reggie Bush.
Any quibbles with Keyshawn? Mike, any quibbles with Keyshawn that we should know about?
Oh, yeah, we've quibbled. And, so just to bring everybody in on that conversation. So when we got to the Jets in 97, Coach Parcells, head coach, GM, Keyshawn was drafted in 1996. First pick overall, deservedly so. We get there, and the part about Keyshawn that people don't realize, he was obviously a really, really good receiver. He was a great blocker. We used to put him in the slot, and if the team would go nickel against us, he was a great point-of-attack blocker. But anyway, let's just say there was an economic remuneration disagreement, to put it mildly. You know, he was getting paid X, he wanted Y, so there was a remuneration issue, and that was not going to be solved after a lot of conversation. So Coach Parcells called Rich McKay from none other than USC. And Rich McKay said, we said, look, we would trade Keyshawn Johnson for a first-round pick. And Rich McKay said, absolutely not. Keyshawn Johnson from USC, I got to give you 2-1s. And the rest is history.
I love that story.
And it worked out.
I just love Mike has the different phrases that make things sound kind of not so bad. You know, spirited debate, which actually means there was spit all over the walls as we were screaming at each other. And then Mike's proud to say, and I won that debate, by the way. Let's keep this going.
By the way, Alan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Alan, one other, in terms of vernacular, we never had pay cuts ever We only had pay adjustments.
Smart. Pay adjustments. That's it.
You
like
walk
that.
Away just feeling like, right, when somebody says go to hell, you're like, I look forward to
we
that
just
trip.
Just adjusted your payroll. That's all.
Right. Keeping the conversation moving on Ask the GM Anything with Mike Tannenbaum. We go to line six. Go.
Hey, this is Tyrone from Georgia. Jay Will, you my dude.
My man.
Mike G, my Falcons, we need position. We need help at every position on the defensive side of the ball. Do you think it's feasible that we get out of that fourth pick, pick up some extra picks in this year's draft, and empty the bucket on the defensive side of the ball? Or do you think Matt Ryan has slipped to the point where we need to get in this quarterback fight?
Wow.
Yeah, those are all really good points. Tyrell, I think that Matt Ryan's close to the end, and if you're in year one, with Terry Fontenot, who's a young, talented general manager from they just signed from the New Orleans Saints, and then with Arthur Smith, absolutely, they need a lot more help on the defensive side of the ball. But if there's a quarterback there, and Trey Lance, to me, is someone that's really interesting because, you know, we talked earlier in the show about chasing greatness. I think Trey Lance has a chance to be great. And Matt Ryan, albeit, has had a really good career in year one. I would take Trey Lance, but no doubt about it. All three levels could use help. I do think A.J. Terrell is going to be a really good corner, first-round pick last year. But if Trey Lance is sitting there at four, which I think he would be, I think that's going to be hard to pass up if I'm the Falcons.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, we're brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk, offering the Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199 and $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plans. No contract on America's best networks. We continue. This has actually been great energy, great fun, and it's like Mike has an answer for everything. That's which is, of course,
this
very
is story time with Uncle Mike right now. That's what I'm listening
to. The stories are the best part, too. So some of these calls are spurring some of the stories. So let's continue. Ask the GM Anything. We go back to line one.
Hi, this is Max from Maryland. The Jets were sitting at two. Miami's at three. Miami got a truckload for their pick. Why didn't the Jets do that deal with the Niners? Are they angry with Saleh? Why not the Jets?
Great question. I think the Jets just said, hey, we are all in on Zach Wilson. And when you watch Zach Wilson play, and I went to see him in his bowl game because I was so intrigued by all this noise about him and how quickly he's gone up draft boards. He is a little bit bigger than you think. And what's remarkable, guys, right now he weighs more than Trevor Lawrence. And you wouldn't think that because Trevor Lawrence is a long, linear sort of build. Zach Wilson is a little bit more compact, but his accuracy down the field was tremendous. And they had that one loss to Coastal Carolina, but he played well. So I think if I'm the Jets, even though I agree with the caller, there was a big, big haul of picks. I think they made the right decision because in the next 10 years, Zach Wilson has a higher upside than Sam Darnold.
Mike, real quick, if you're Pete Carroll and you're in the great Northwest and you're understanding that, hey, we want to reboot our franchise, Russell Wilson maybe is not our guy moving forward, and I'm watching Zach Wilson. I want Zach Wilson more than anything. Do you give a call to Joe Douglas?
Absolutely. I certainly do. That could be a win-win. And then we actually came up, I get it, Greeny and I, we came up with a three-way trade that we actually think puts all three teams in a better position. Russell Wilson goes from Seattle to Chicago. A second-round pick goes from Chicago to the Jets. The Jets trade Sam Darnold to Seattle, and Chicago sends two first-round picks and Roquan Smith to Seattle. So now if you're Seattle, you come out of this with two ones, Roquan Smith and Sam Darnold. So if Sam Darnold develops, you may have your quarterback of the future. If it doesn't, you have a great linebacker, Roquan Smith, and two first-round picks. Chicago's obviously in a better situation. They have Russell Wilson. And if you're the Jets, you're going to have Zach Wilson, and now you get a two for Sam Darnold.
I said this like 3 weeks ago. Not exactly. I said three-way trade, and I got poo-pooed on. It's like, oh, the three-way trade's never happened
soon.
In the NFL.
It was too soon, Jay.
Never happens in NFL. We don't do that.
Yeah, we weren't ready for that. Yeah, again, that's our NBA mentality of like the three-team, 17-player trades that happen in that league. Mike, we got one more because this has been a lot of fun. I'm told line five is the way to go. Line five, how you doing? Wow.
Line five?
That's...
Don't let us down. You're our last one.
That is disappointing. Does he not know?
Are you there? Yes, I heard you.
Who knows if there's line five?
Okay, that's you.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, here's my question.
All right.
Okay. This is Rudy from New York. I'd like to know if the Jets, after selecting Zach Wilson, can get back into the first round at number 5 and trade with the Bengals so they can keep Kyle Pitts away from the Miami Dolphins.
Oof. Boy, that's a really interesting question. Boy, that would take a lot. I mean, the Jets, and Joe Douglas does a great job of amassing multiple first-round picks. Gosh, I think that would be really hard to get all the way back up to 5. So I think if that's who the Dolphins want, and we're assuming, I think it would be really hard for the Jets to do that. So I think it's just too far for them to come back up from the bottom of the first round. But, boy, that's an interesting sort of scenario for them to try to come out of this with, you know, Wilson and Pitts. So the only other variable here is, you know, what does Cincinnati do? A lot of people like myself think they'll take a offensive tackle, Penei Sewell, out of Oregon. But let's say they take Ja'Marr Chase. You know, now Miami, maybe they do take Kyle Pitts. But there's also a scenario where if the Dolphins value Chase over Pitts, and maybe Pitts goes by Miami. So there's a lot of things that have to play out. We know that Miami went up for a playmaker. We just don't know which one yet. And stay tuned. But Kyle Pitts could be in the AFC East.
Mike, this was great. I'm surprised that you would respond when somebody said, can I give you a couple of fourths and maybe a third, and you give me that six pick. You think we could do that?
I want to know Rudy's last name. Did it start with a G?
It was a Rudy G.
It seemed like he was a former mayor of New York City. It sounded familiar.
He's already at Yankee Stadium. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And our guest here in the first, co-host, not a guest, part of the family, Mike Tannenbaum, joined us for the entire hour. We appreciate all the energy you brought today, Mike. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. And Jay Will, I want to validate something. I did make a three-way trade in 2006. We actually traded John Abraham to Atlanta and got a first-round pick from Denver. So they're not something that happens often, but you can make three-way trades in the NFL.
See, Mike, always blazing the path, the pioneer.
Say goodbye to Mike and hello to March Madness. Controversy coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.